started with the beginning day of Unit 3. So we're going to have 4 days of lecture, Monday to Thursday, where you learn something new every day. And then on Friday, you'll have a quiz over those 4 days. And then next Monday and Tuesday, we'll learn two more new things. And then Wednesday, you have a quiz. And then the test is Thursday and Friday. So we're just kind of starting the cycle all over again with Unit 3, of which there's 8 total. So we're heading into Unit 3 today. Unit 3 has a lot to do with knowledge that you learn in Unit 2. Because we're still talking about lines, and we're still talking about linear functions. So today is yet sort of another day of your culmination, because we're in a Roxwald 2.4 section. So Roxwald is the college algebra book, so now it's being presented sort of at the college algebra level, in a way. So let's take a look at what we're first thing we're going to be working on. So number one says, find a formula for the function. And you glance at the graph, so you're given a graph. Do you agree? You have a graph in front of you. So basically, this is how you find a formula for the function when given a graph. And this is just one example. Like, we kind of go through one example where you have a graph. All right, so I recognize it's a line. And there's two bits of information that you need in order to come up with the equation of a line. What are they? Slope and y-intercept. If you know the slope and you know the y-intercept, you can come up with the equation of a line. This is going to be in function notation, so we're going to be starting with f of x instead of y. How do I know if this is a function or not? How do you tell if it's a function? It's linear, and linear is function. It also passes the vertical line test. So just reminding you some stuff. It has a domain. It has a range. It's got x-intercepts. It's got y-intercepts. Those could all be questions that you're asked, because that's kind of your expert at that now. But we're trying to come up with the equation. When you have a graph, the y-intercept is super easy, because you can just read it off. Where does that graph touch the y-axis? At what number? 15. It's clear to see. It's right here. So b, the b value, is easy. I can just look at the graph and say, oh, that's the b value. The slope could be easy, could be not easy, depending. If the scales were all counting by ones, I could just count it off, probably. But when I glance at these scales, one of them's counting by fives, and one of them's counting by twos. So I'm thinking maybe I'm not going to attempt to count it off. I'm just going to get 2 points on the graph and use my slope formula. So there's two pretty obvious points that I see on the graph right here. And make sure you, so I'm going to put find 2 points and list them. So I'm going to list the 2 points. Make sure you list them properly. So the coordinate of this point is 0, 15. And what about this coordinate? What's his coordinate? 2, 0. Good. By the way, before I actually figure out what the slope is, should it be a positive number or a negative number? It should be a negative number. Why? It's going down. So just keep in the back of my head, should be a negative number. Okay, so we have a formula for this. So the slope is equal to this guy minus this guy in the numerator all over this guy minus this guy in the denominator. So y2 minus y1 is 0 minus 15 all over 2 minus 0. You can subtract in whatever order you want as long as you're consistent. I always subtract that. So 0 minus 15 is negative 15, and 2 minus 0 is 2. So I'm ready to write my answer now. I've got a slope, and I've got a y-intercept, right? So when it says find a formula for the function, they're expecting you to start it with f of x equals. What should I write next? It's mx plus b, right? I know what m is. It's negative 15 halves. So negative 15 halves x plus, happens to be 15 again, because the y-intercept was 15 from the graph. And you did it. You should be able to do that for any graph that you're given. And you'll be provided a couple practice problems tonight. Where you, here's a graph. What's the equation of linear function? Do you see the y-intercepts quite easy to identify? But the slope, you have to kind of list 2 points to compute the slope. So that's kind of easier than what we do. And then all your final step is to put them in the right spot into y equals mx plus b or f of x equals mx plus b. It's a linear function. That's why it starts with f of x. So I'm not going to do any more of those. That is pretty basic. So I feel pretty good about that. Any questions before we move on from getting a linear function from a graph? Do you feel like you could do it? Okay. All right. Do you catch that the slope's pretty critical? Because if the slope's wrong, the equation's wrong. Like, if either one of those two bits of information is wrong coming into the equation, it's going to be the wrong equation. So make sure you pay attention to the scale. Make sure you pay attention to your signs. Because if you accidentally write positive 15 here, it's not going to be the correct slope. And the line's not even going in the right direction anymore. So be careful about that. Okay. We have the exact same direction set now, except you no longer have a picture of the line. So find a linear function. They want you to call it f, such that that criteria is met and that criteria is met. And at that point, sometimes people are just like, yeah, no, I don't know what those symbols mean. I don't understand what's going on anymore. I don't have a picture to help me out. But hopefully you remember that this notation represents a coordinate. And this notation represents a second coordinate. Because all I need is two coordinates. Once I have two coordinates or 2 points on the line, I can go forth and figure out the rest of the stuff that I need. So thinking about that, inside the parentheses, is that an x value or a y value? Inside the parentheses. X. And then it outputs a y. So I'm going to rewrite this, these symbols right here, as the coordinate that it represents. So this represents the coordinate, 2, negative 3. And this represents the coordinate, 4, 7. Remember, our ultimate goal is we need a slope, m. We need a y-intercept, b. We're pretty far away from both of them at the moment. Which one are we going to get first? When we have 2 points, what's the only thing you can do? Slope. So we're going to use the slope formula again. Start it with m equals, just so you're paying attention to what's going on. Once again, I always just draw the arrows so you can see that I'm subtracting back in each direction. And so you get 7 minus negative 3 all over 4 minus 2. That arithmetic right there is very important. So 7 minus negative 3. So the formula has a minus sign, but you're inputting a negative 3. So it actually becomes like 7 plus 3, which is 10. 4 minus 2 is 2. Do you think we would leave that as that fraction, 10 halves? No, because it goes in evenly. So 10 divided by 2 is 5. So if we need two bits of information, and we need M and B, we just figured out M is 5. Perfect. We're halfway to our goal. Right? How do we figure out what B is? There's like a whole little protocol that we go through to figure out what B is. You did it on the test that you took last week. Yeah, you plug in, right? So what do you mean we plug in? Well, so there's the part to find the slope. Here's the part to find the B. I'm going to write down y equals mx plus b, an equation that has 4 variables, and I know 3 out of 4. I'm going to choose to use, so you can use whichever point you want because they both give the same answer at the end. It doesn't matter which point you pick. I'm going to use the 4, 7 just because they're both positive. So when y is 7, so 7 equals, our slope is 5, so 5 when x is 4 plus b. By choosing the positive coordinates, I just eliminate one more place I might have error about multiplying by a negative number. So 7 equals, let's see, 5 times 4 is 20 plus b. I've almost got my b. I want to subtract 20 from both sides. B equals, and 7 minus 20 is negative 13?
Yes.
Perfect. And so now I know my b. So the first part, too, where it says find a linear function, We are exactly where we were a minute ago from the graph. We have an M and a B. So you want to write f of, and so my answer is going to be f of x equals my slope, which is 5, times x, and then minus 13, and put a box around that, and that's your linear function. You never get to see a picture of it, nor did you have to graph it. It was all just algebraically computed like that. Do you think you could do that? You've already done it, actually. You did it on that last test. We certainly gave you 2 points and said, work your way through stuff. So there's sort of another example. All right, so this has an A part down here where it says, what is f of 5? So what does that mean now that I have this function? What does that mean? Yeah, just stick a 5 in there as an x coordinate and see what y coordinate comes out of it. So f of 5 means, f of 5 is equal to, that's just telling me what I'm inputting, 5 times 5 minus 13. There's nothing special about the number 5. We just picked it to see if you could evaluate the function when f is 5. It could have said negative 5, it could have said 2, it could have said, whatever you wanted. So you end up with 25 minus 13. And 25 minus 13 is 12. So f of 5 is 12. Do you test if your function's not correct, then that value's not going to be correct. So it all kind of snowballs from there. If your slope's not right, then your b's not going to be right. If your b's not right, then your evaluation's not going to be right. So this is very, systematic. So that was another good example. You'll have a couple of those to practice tonight from Roxwell. The only difference will be they'll change the coordinates. Here's two different coordinates. Go ahead and give that a go. Here's two different coordinates. If they're decimals, you just handle the decimals, in there, because I think they might give you a couple where the coordinates are decimals. And then normally your answers might involve some decimals in there, too. Okay, so got it from a graph, got it from 2 points. There's been no context whatsoever, no word problem, no nothing. Just here you go. Okay, so now we're ready to take a look at another way the data can be presented. So turn over. So we got our first linear word problem today. It seems like we haven't done much linear word problems at all, or function word problems. We might have done a little bit. Suppose a new computer is purchased for $1,800. That's funny. It's a little bit old now. We're looking at a new computer because my desktop's coming back. My husband's we can get one for $300. I'm remember that first one we bought in 1990 that was $2,000 or $4,000? We bought a little HP little brand. Computers continually go down. It's funny. $1,800, maybe it's math. And straight line depreciation is used to estimate value over 4 years. That is, after 4 years, the computer will be worth nothing. Okay, a business application. You might know nothing about it, because we're going to learn about it today. Never having seen straight line depreciation, what does that mean? Well, straight line depreciation means it's a line. So this stuff's linear stuff. And so we're trying to figure out what's going on with this computer. And in the story, one of two things happens. Either they give me 2 points, or they give me a y-intercept and they give me a slope. So which one did this give us? So the new computer is purchased for $1,800, and then after 4 years it's worth nothing. They're giving us 2 points. So the points are going to go like this. Time value. So sometimes when you read a word problem, you've got to establish which coordinate am I going to set as x and which one is going to be y. What's my independent variable? What's my dependent variable? What's my domain? What's my range? If there's a time unit in the problem, like days, minutes, months, years, it's almost exclusively the x coordinate. So that's why I put time to be first. It's not which one you read first when you read the story. Because when I see it, 1800 is the first number that kind of jumps out in my head. But our time when we buy the computer is year zero. So at year zero, when I buy the computer, we'll call that year zero, it's worth $1,800. All right, I need a second coordinate. So what are you thinking is going to give me the second coordinate?
4 years.
At 4 years, so that means 4 years later, that's a time unit, right? So at 4 years later, the computer is worth nothing. Zero. We did it. We read a story in English, and out of that story, we pulled two coordinates out of it. I don't expect that you would have been able to do that on your own the first time that you see it, but I would expect you could do one now. If you see one similar, it might be over 5 years and start $2,000 or something similar to that. Okay, so we're kind of back where we were on the page before, where we have 2 points. So can you figure out the slope? And then reconvene and we'll see if we agree. I got -450. So I'm going to wait a minute, make sure you verify that. Everyone's getting -450. Does it make sense as a negative number? Because the computer is going down in value. So remember, the slope is like your rate. So it's a negative rate because it's decreasing in value. Okay, so we've got a slope. Here's kind of the interesting part about this problem. Remember, we need a slope and we need a B, right? On the prior page, these were just kind of two generic coordinates. No big deal. I figured out all this to get to B, and I mathematically figured it out. If you stop, you just do that again, and you do it on this page. But the smart student might recognize that we actually have the B. One of those two coordinates is the B. Because if you recall what the definition of what y-intercept is when x is 0, right? So which one of those coordinates is when x is 0? 0, 1800. So you already have the B in this one, but if you don't remember it, you pick a coordinate, plug it in, and you still get the exact same value. You would get 1800. But this one has sort of a shortcut. If you're sharp and you catch it. So 0, 1800 means 1800 is B. Because it's pairing with 0. By definition, the y-intercept is whatever pairs with the x value of 0. So you are now ready. You have your two bits of information. Remember, you need a slope and you need a B. So we have a slope and we have a B. They want you to call the function like V of x. So generically, we just always use f of x, but in a word problem, they kind of tell you, what does the V stand for? Value. So that's why V of x. X is age. So V of x is equal to -450x plus 1800. How might your story change? Well, maybe it starts at 5,000. Maybe it's over a 7-year period. So your numbers might change a little bit. But the methodology behind it is the same. Questions on that so far? So I noticed when I glanced at your Roxwell homework tonight that sometimes in their word problems, they just say something like this. Something starts at 1,800. And it's decreasing by 450 per year. So they actually give you the starting value, B, only in English. So they say the starting value is 1,800. And then the rate by which it's decreasing is 450. Or they just kind of use the word rate in there. And so in English, they're giving you both the B and the M. You just have to sort out. The initial value or the starting value is always your B. And the one that's either increasing or decreasing is always your M. So this one didn't quite do that, and I don't think we have one that does that. No, we don't have one that it's just all in English. But the B is always the initial value. Decreasing rate means it's negative. Increasing rate means it's positive for the ones that you're going to have to do. So I could have just told you this, basically. And so you would, that to me, that's the easiest one of all. When I give you initial value, that's B. And when I give you the rate, that's M. So there's no actual work involved in doing it. And I think you have two or three of those. It might look like this. I start with $2,000 or 2,000 gallons of water in a swimming pool, and the pump is draining it at 10 gallons per hour or whatever. It's 100 gallons per hour. It's giving you the two bits of information that you need. So you have to identify which one's the initial value, which is your B, your starting point, and which one is your rate, your slope, the one that says by something per hour or something per minute or per year is going to be your slope. Alright, so let's go ahead. We haven't, you came to me once last week or 2 weeks ago when we had to graph something because it's kind of a challenge to get this, but they want you to graph this one. This one's not quite as bad to graph at all. So you're sitting here with a first quadrant graph grid. And you're trying to model this scenario right here, what's going on. So let's talk for a minute about what unit should be on the x-axis. What is it taking in?
Years.
Time or years. And what about on the y-axis? Value. Maybe that's all you get to at the beginning, because if you mix those up, it's wrong. So we got those in the right spot. Okay. Let's talk about the x-axis scale for a minute. All right, we want to start at zero right here. How far out do we need to go? We only need to get out there to 4 years, because at 4 years it's zero. So student number one goes 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, and the whole graph is right here. Student number two goes 0, 1, 2, 3, 4. Which one do you like better? Second one. So let's believe like every other tick mark is a year.
So 0, 1, 2, 3, 4.
More aesthetically pleasing when it's spaced out a little bit more. So that's good. All right, let's talk about the y-axis scale for a minute. What's the max it has to be? $1,800. Does it go up from there or down from there? Yeah. It goes down from there, right? And it's actually going down at $450 per year. So one smart thing might be to count by 450s. 450, 450, 450, 450 would add up to 1,800. But should I do that same? Should I go like 450, 900, or should I space them out a little bit? I'm going to space them out just a little bit. So maybe this is 450. This is 900. 1,350. And then ultimately end up at 1,800 right here. Are we okay with that idea? That's a nice scale to kind of set up. We have 2 points on the line. We have 0, 1,800, which is the y-intercept, so go ahead and plot it. We also have another point, 4 years that's worth zero, right here. So plot it also. Alright, so now we're going to be a little bit careful, because typically when we graph a line, it goes on forever and ever in each direction, and it's got arrowheads on it, right? But in a word problem, that's not necessarily true. This one's going to graph to be this line segment right here, so I'm just taking out straight edge to connect them. Why do you think we don't go, like, beyond it over here? And let's just say we don't go back in time. We don't go to negative time, right? Year zero is where we started out from. And our computer is not going to go be worth negative value. So the least it can be worth is zero. So that kind of makes sense. Let's go with something like that. All right, so what is the implied domain? So word problems have sort of an implied domain because we learned about lines before, that lines that go forever never go from negative thing to positivity, but not this one. Does it have a leftmost point?
Yes.
What's its x-coordinate?
Zero.
So bracket zero. Does it have a rightmost point?
Yep.
Yes. Value at?
Four.
So the implied domain for this function is from zero to four. Did it ask me to write that? Okay, I got it. So while this line could go forever and ever in each direction, for our particular application of it, it only is good between 0 and 4. Does that make sense? Okay. What is the value of the computer after the first year? So you can do one of two things. If your graph is really, really good, I can read the value off the graph. So at year one, I go up to my graph, and it's talking about that point right there. And because I scaled it at a really nice scale, I can read it and say it's worth $13.50. So that's option number one. But you always have a second option sort of in that. Maybe you didn't know how to get the graph, or maybe your graph's crappy, or maybe you didn't use a straight edge, so things aren't looking good. The value of the computer after the first year in function notation is asking you to compute this. Do you agree with that? That means that. This is the English version. This is like, what's the value after year one? This is kind of saying, hey, put it into your equation. The equation we got was the one way up here. So if I did it that way, it'd be negative 450 times 1 plus 1800. And guess what you get? The exact same answer. Because they should match each other, because the graph is the picture of that function over the four-year span. So if you do it correctly, you can just kind of read that answer from the graph. Okay with that? Okay. When will the value of the computer be $450? So now it's giving me a y-coordinate. So at 450, I'm going to go over to my graph. I'm going to draw a point there so you can see. When means they're asking me for the x. They're giving me a y and asking me for the x. So what would you say? At what year point? 3 years. It's very, very common, and you'll get asked it on Friday, you'll get asked it next week, for me to give you 2 points, you come up with the equation, then we give you an x and ask you for a y, then we give you a y and ask you for an x, to show that you can use the equation in both directions. And it tests you to know, like, because they have different units. So if you put a dollar symbol on here, I don't think you know what you're doing, because it's saying when, and it's a year thing. They're giving you a y and asking you for an x. Or if you put a year on here, that's not correct, because it's giving you a year and asking you for the output, which is in dollars. So this is sort of a correct approach for every unit. Good. What if your graph is not correct, though, or your graph isn't good? Can you do this kind of manually, algebraically also? So 450 is the value, and especially because you're not going to be asked to graph everything. So if you're not asked to graph it, you don't have a graph to kind of read the value off of. You would put in 450 in the value spot and negative 450x plus 1800. You would just be putting into your equation that you developed, right? And doing it more algebraically, because you won't be asked to graph everything. It's just too tedious and it's not the best way to do it. So then you would subtract 1800 from both sides. So you get negative 1350. Equals negative 450x. And then dividing both sides, you still get the exact same answer. So I'm trying to show you that you can do stuff like algebraically, or you can do it kind of looking at the graph, and they should all agree because they all represent that same scenario that we've got going on. I think this would have been a lot like last week when you're first learning lines, but now hopefully it's starting to make a little bit of sense how to do it. If we had asked for 3.5 years, it's far easier to plug in 3.5 here than to kind of estimate off the graph what that value is. So it was pretty nice they gave you like 0, like 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, 4 year. But if it was like a 3.5, then it's easier to use equations. Or 2.5, because you don't want to be guesstimating what's going on at 2.5, although it looks like it's an exact value, but you probably want to use your equation. All right, how are you feeling about that? So we did from a graph, M and B. We did from 2 points, M and B. We did from a word problem, M and B. And then we actually used it a little bit more. So I'm going to put that aside. I think we're revisiting this concept. This says, can the data be modeled exactly by a linear function? If so, find the function. In other words, if I was to graph those 5 coordinates, would they fall exactly on a line that I could connect with a ruler? We're not doing it that way, but that's what it's saying. How did we do it? Do you remember? Yeah, we're gonna. It's a lot of subtracting at the moment. So take out your calculator, and I'm just drawing arrows for each of these first four subtractions that I'm doing. So I did the four y's across the bottom and got negative 1.2, negative 0.6, negative 0.6, negative 1.2. Did you agree with that? Can I stop right now and say no because four of them, like, they're different from each other? That's a pretty big mistake to say that. That's not correct yet. So we're not done because you need to do the corresponding x's on the top. So subtract back. In the numerators, which will ultimately become the denominators, so across the top is a better way to say it. So -2 -2. So this chart and the method I'm showing you right now is just a very quick and easy way to get to four different slopes. Remember, slope is change in y over change in x. So it's negative 1.2 in the numerator all over 2 for the first pairing. And then negative 0.6 over 1. And then the third slope is negative 0.6 over 1. And then the last slope is negative 1.2 over 2. It was just an easy way to get those four slopes without having to, like, write the coordinates side by side by side. If you simplify each of those four divisions, what do you get? Like, what is negative 1.2 divided by 2?
0.6.
Yeah, negative.
Negative
0.6. Negative 0.6. Negative 0.6. Negative 0.6. At this point, what can you say? They all have the same slope. So therefore, it is a linear function. If one of them was different, the answer would be no. But they're all equivalent, so the answer is yes. So, yes. Because the answer is yes, we have a second part of the problem. It wants me to write the linear function. So we need two bits of information to write a linear function. What do we need? Slope.
And
the y-intercept. We have the slope, agreed? Do we have the y-intercept? Look at the table. Do we have the y-intercept? Which coordinate is it? He's so important, I'm going to make him purple. The y-intercept pairs with an x of 0. We are always grateful if we see that coordinate right there. Because that means that 4.8 is the y-intercept, because he's got an x value of 0. Do you get that? Like, because y-intercepts by definition have an x value of 0. So whenever you see a table, we're always quite happy when we have the x-0, because that means you have the y-intercept. So you can go straight to the answer now. F of x equals, write down what you think it is, and then look up here. Just what we've been doing on the front page, just get a fourth variety of how to give this information to you. Here we have a table of 4 points. Can you decide if it's linear or not? Okay, so give the bottom one go. Same procedure. There's a lot of negatives and a lot of decimals, so just key those in. I did my four whys, and they're all different from each other. That's pretty glaringly that something's probably going to be up. But I went ahead and did my x's and got a one for all of them. So when you do the division, I'm going to get four different slopes. Do you agree?
Mm-hmm.
Do I have to write them all out here, or can you see it? They're going to be four different slopes. So this one's going to be 1.8, that's going to be 2.6, that's going to be 2.5, that's going to be 2. So not linear. If it's not linear, you're done. You can't write it as a linear function if it's not linear. So we stop at that one. Okay, that? So be aware of that. I got a little suspicious when I got to about right here. And I'm like, wait, these are all one on the top, so it's not like it divided away like it did up there. So be a little careful about that. Alright, so that's like the first third of the day. Was kind of that idea right there. We're going to save that for a minute, and we're going to go to the second major topic of the day, which is on this handout I'm going to give you. It's better than theirs. So. We're going to learn how to graph something called a piecewise function. More lines. So. I just have one more example. We still have about 2.4. A lot of students don't like them, but I think you're going to love them after today. And you're going to be able to do it, which is the most important part. So I have one, two, three examples on the front, sort of two examples on the back about what is a piecewise function. We're going to take a look at it. Okay, so these things on the front are called a piecewise function because they're made up of pieces, different pieces. So I'm going to ask a few questions about this very first graph on the top that I created. I put the one there just to tell you I'm counting by ones. Everything's counting by ones on the scale for this page. There's no weird scales going on. So how many different pieces do you see? Well, there's the first piece, and there's the second piece. So this piecewise function has two pieces that we graph kind of separately if you had to graph them. Let's review a couple of things. What's the domain of this piecewise function? So what's the domain?
Do you have an extra copy?
Yeah. All right, so leftmost x value is what? Negative 1, negative 2, negative 4? So it starts at negative 4. What's the rightmost value? 3, 4, 5. So I was clever and didn't give the same numbers all the time, so you're wondering where numbers are coming from. I changed them up. Like negative 4 to 5 is the domain. Okay, what's the range? So go to the lowest point on the graph, project it over to the y-axis, and what value is that? Negative 2. Go to the highest point on the graph, which is literally this horizontal line right here, right? And what's the highest y value that comes out of that horizontal line? 1. So just reminding you some stuff from the past, because that's going to keep coming up in here. Okay. Next question says, what is f of negative 2? So inside parentheses means I'm an x value. So go to negative 2 on the x-axis. It happens to be that point right there. And tell me what y-coordinate pairs with that negative 2. 0. Because that point right there is the point negative 2, 0. And then just for the heck of it, I threw in positive 2 also. So f of positive 2 is talking about this point right here. And what's his y-coordinate? 1. Okay, new idea is going to be the question, is this piecewise function continuous on the domain? It's a yes or no question, so it's going to ask you, is this continuous, yes or no? So if you go from left to right, can you draw this graph without picking up your pencil?
Yes.
Yes. So we're going to go with a yes. Is that okay? Okay. So we answered those questions for the first piecewise function I gave you. So we're going to move on to the second one right here and ask the exact same questions. So this one looks a little bit different because, well, A, there's some arrowheads on this one. So it's not like little line segments, there's arrowheads going on. And there's a gap right here, right? Remember the open dot and there's a closed dot down here. Okay, so let's start by answering some questions. How many pieces do you see?
Two.
Two. What is the domain of this function? So I'm answering the same questions as up above. I just didn't write them out in English again. So does this graph have a leftmost point, or is it going left forever because that arrowhead?
Forever.
Does it have a rightmost point? And is there any kind of gaps in between? There's really not left to right. So negative infinity to positive infinity. Range. Ooh. Does this graph have a lowest point? Right here, projected the y-axis is. Because the arrows are going up, right? They're going. It's not going to go down. They're both going up. So negative one. Does it have a highest point? No, they're both climbing up forever. So positive infinity. I'm okay with that for the range. All right, number four. Number four we're going to skip because I didn't move the graph over. I guess we could draw it up a little bit more if we wanted to. We really can't because the slope's not. I just don't want to do number four. The graph doesn't go through that point at the moment. So I'm just going to omit that one just for this because it's not what I wanted to show. The big one's at the two, number five. So f of 2, here's the one spot where something weird's going on, right? Because when you go to x equals 2, we've got the graph up top that's got an open hole, and we've got the graph down below with a solid hole. Which one's the actual point? The solid hole. So the solid hole's y coordinate is negative 1.
Perfect.
So f of 2 is negative 1. Okay. Number six. Is this graph continuous on its domain? So as you're going from left to right, can you draw the whole thing without lifting up your pencil?
No.
No. So the answer is a no, because it's got that big jump right here. Okay. Take a look at this graph for a minute. Same question. Let me ask the same questions again. All right, how many pieces do you see? There's three, right? There's this one, the horizontal line, and then this one down here. So this one's made up of three pieces. What do you think the domain of this three-piece function would be? So notice that's a hard stop, agree? Because it's a dot. So his coordinates, negative 5. So domain goes from negative 5. How about on the right? Yeah, remember a line with an arrowhead that's going down? It's also slowly going out forever. Down and out, down and out. So it has no rightmost point, so positivity. Number three, the range. So this line's going down forever, so remember domain range goes from bottom to top, lowest to highest. So starts with negative infinity. How about a highest point? Yeah, y coordinate of that point right there, highest value is 3. Are you feeling more comfortable with domain or range now as we're going through these, kind of getting to practice a few different ones, hopefully? This one we can answer f of negative 2. So what is f of negative 2? So that means go to negative 2 on the x-axis. Go up to your graph and tell me what y-coordinate pairs with it. Sometimes I list the point there just so you can see where the 3 is actually coming from. It's not like I'm dreaming it up. When I go to negative 2 and I go up to that point, it's a 3. So, 3.
Range.
Oh, crap, I screwed up the range. I didn't mean to do that.
I know.
Yeah, I didn't mean to screw it up. I also didn't mean to put it on there. We've got a problem with the range. Thanks, Dick. So let me just answer number 4. So that one was 3. Does anybody see what the problem with the range is? This open bit right here. Do you see between here and here there's nothing on the graph? So really it goes from negative infinity all the way to negative 2. But then there's a gap where there's no graph. Do you agree? And then it starts like, all the way from like here to here, there's nothing. But then it picks back up right here to here. So I'm going to redo the range because that's a little bit tricky. So let's redo the correct range. Okay, so range starts at negative infinity, and then it goes to right here. So what's that guy's y value right there? Negative 2. But do you all see that gap in there on the graph where there's nothing that's going to output a y value of anywhere in these circles because there's no graph that corresponds to it? The graph picks, so I'm going to put the union symbol. The graph picks back up again right here. So the next y value that it could output would be 1. And of course we talked about it stopping at 3. And then there's no graph above 3. So that gap right there causes a gap in the range. That's a little tricky. I don't know if Roswell does that to you. Thanks.
Yeah.
You might. Okay, I'm going to ask you the last question on this page is, what is f of 3? So use your graph to evaluate f of 3. So you would go to 3 on the x-axis. Do you go to the open hole or the dot?
The dot.
The dot. What's the y-coordinate of the dot? Negative 2. So f of 3 is negative 2. So those are some questions. If I give you a piecewise function, those are the 6 or 7 questions that you might be asked about your piecewise function. So far, it was pretty good, except for that weird range. I think that weird range is a little tricky the first time you do. But ultimately, your goal is going to be to draw one, that you draw a piecewise function. So we're going to practice that a couple times. We've got 3 of them to work on. So, huh? Oh, yeah. Is it continuous, yes or no?
No?
No, because of right here where you have to lift up your pencil to get down to here to the graph, so not continuous. So that would be a no. For number 6, the answer is no. All right. So turn it over. This is what your first piecewise function looks like. That's the recipe to get that kind of weird graph that we just did on the front page. Okay, so now you have the recipe for it, and we're trying to get the picture of it on the graph. So let's just, I gave you 2 of them at the moment. The one at the top has 2 pieces, because there's 2 rows. So it's going to graph to be 2 pieces. The one at the bottom has 3 pieces, and it's going to graph to be 3 pieces. So piece number 1, piece number 2, piece number 3. But we're going to start with one that only has 2 pieces up at the top. So it always starts with like f of x equals, and then there's usually like a big brace like that, and then each line represents a piece. So it'll have the word 4. And then over here is sort of helping me get where the piece is located on the map, or on the graph grid. So we're not going to make this complicated, we're going to make it quite easy. The first thing that we're going to do is piece number 1. Piece number 1 is this guy right here. So make yourself a table. By the way, all the pieces today are going to be lines. Either lines or line segments. There's no parabolas in them, no V's, no nothing. There's pieces of line. These things right here are x-coordinates. So write negative 3, so x and y. We're doing it by a table. So negative 3 and 1 are my 2 x values. And then usually right next to the x value, I'm going to put either a solid dot or an open dot so I remember how to put it on the graph. If it's got the line, it's going to be a solid dot. And if it doesn't have a line underneath it, when I graph that coordinate, I want it to be an open dot. So now I need to figure out what the y-coordinate that pairs with that piece is. So this is the domain value, x value, so make sure you plug it into the correct piece, the piece that it's talking about, the x plus 3. So let's see, when I plug in here, negative 3 plus 3 is 0. That's one point on the graph. Now I'm going to plug in 1 to the first piece. 1 plus 3 is 4. Does everyone see how I got those? It's back to the old plugging into an equation and get the y-coordinate out of it. So now go to your graph, and at negative 3, 0, put a solid dot. And at 1, 4, put an open dot. Take out your ruler, connect them. And you just graphed your first piece of your piecewise function. Piece number 1 is complete. The part on the right tells me the domain. The part on the left tells me where to plug it into, like to make the line, that line right there. Okay, so now we're going to do piece number 2. Make a new table, x and y. And what do you think we're going to use for our x coordinates for the second piece? 1 and 4. Okay. Are they going to be open dots or closed dots? They're both going to be closed because they have the line. How do I figure out what y-coordinate to plug them into, like to get the y-coordinate? You plug them into the second equation, the negative 2x one, because that's for this right here. So negative 2 times 1 is negative 2. And 4 times negative 2 is negative 8. I didn't realize I was going to run off the grid, so we're going to do our best to not run off, but to improvise a little bit. So 1, negative 2 is a solid dot right here. And 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 8 would be up here somewhere. I have to go off the grid a little bit just because didn't realize I screwed up. And then you take out your ruler and you connect those two pieces. Oh, negative 8, thank you. The other one. Negative 8, Diane, not positive 8. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, something like that. I promise you on your quiz you won't have to go off the graphic room. We've been using the grid from the book, which is negative 10 to 10, but this one only goes from negative 6 to 6. How do you feel about your first piecewise function? You did it. You graphed two pieces. Is it continuous, yes or no? No. All right. I don't know that I made an example of this, but it's totally possible that you graph your first piece with an open dot, and then the second piece comes along and fills in the dots at that exact same coordinate. You just fill it in and move on. So it didn't happen in this one because there's a gap. But you graph your first piece, it's got an open dot. The second one's supposed to be a solid dot, and it lands right on top of it and fills it in. That's what happened if you were to see the equations of this one. For one of them, it was an open dot, and then for the second one, the dot filled in on top of it. So that happens quite frequently. It might happen on this one. Take a look. Okay, so now we're going to try to graph this one. Hopefully we don't go off the grid. Shoot, we are. Maybe we should do it on your legit graph paper. Do you have a piece of graph paper from the book that goes out further? Yeah, get like a legit piece. Or you can just use this one and go off the grid. It doesn't matter to me. We're just practicing doing it. Okay. So, we're now going to attempt to graph this one. Right here, that's got three pieces. And I'm going to rewrite it over here so I have more room. Thank you. take up a lot of it. All right, so there's our piecewise function. Do you see it's got three pieces? Do you see that second piece that's just got the number 4 with no variable attached to it? That means it's going to be a horizontal line. That piece is going to be a horizontal line piece. The other ones are going to be like slanty lines, but that one's going to be a horizontal line or constant function because it always spits out a 4. But we're going to stick to our game plan. So piece number 1 is the one that's 2x plus 1. So I'm going to make a little table like this with x and y. So 2x plus 1. What x values am I going to use?
Negative 5
with a solid dot. And negative 1 with an open dot. I got that because of the line. So this time I actually wrote the equation on top of it so you can see where I'm plugging it in to get the y coordinate. So negative 5 times 2 is negative 10, plus 1 is negative 9. 2 times negative 1 is negative 2, negative 2 plus 1 is negative 1. Okay, so that's, I'm going to do the pieces at the end. I'm just going to get the coordinates, and then I'll graph them in a minute. Piece number 2. And notice I just wrote the number 4 on top of it, because it's going to spit out a 4 no matter what you do. So my x coordinates go from negative 1 all the way to 1. And since they both have a line underneath it, they're both going to be solid dots. And what's going to be my y coordinate? What's the only thing this function can spit out? 4. So 4 twice. It's even easier because I don't have to plug anything in. No matter what, the only thing that's going to spit out is a 4. So just write 4 and 4. And then I'm ready to go to my third piece, which his formula is negative x. X and y. And there's a 1 with an open dot, and there's a 4 with a closed dot. So when I input 1 into this, I will get negative 1. And when I input 4 into this, I will get negative 4. So I've now got 2, 4, 6 coordinates up there. I want to get them in pairs and connect them. Your graph will look something like this. Negative 5, negative 9, I'm off of it, so I'm just going to make it down here. Negative 1, negative 1 has an open dot. So the first piece is this line segment right here. Negative 1, 1, 2, 3, 4 is a solid dot. Positive 1, 4 is also a solid dot. We've talked about the fact that it's a constant function because there's no x attached to it, and it should graph your horizontal line. It's a little bitty horizontal line segment, but you got it. And then the third piece is 1, negative 1 with an open dot. And 1, 2, 3, 4, negative 4, 1, 2, 3, 4 with an open dot. Solid dot. And then I connect. And so you once again have a three-piece piecewise function. Looks something like that. Not continuous. Alright, so let's see the one I have for you to do. So there must be one. I'm looking for the notes. It's actually on page... Here we go. So turn to page 505 for a minute. We're going to answer a couple questions, and then we're going to graph one, and then we're done with the side. Okay. So this is a legit example of a piecewise function in the real world, and it's talking about the cost of a call and roaming overseas. How many pieces do you see? On this one. Four cases, right? Four non-lines. So four. Over there is the equation that we put into the computer to get this guy right here. So you already have to accept this, making sure you see that it's got four pieces, what it governs. But here's the big question. Evaluate f of 2.1. So in other words, you've talked just a little bit over 2 minutes. You should be able to evaluate that one of two ways. From the graph, if you happen to have a graph in front of you. Or from that equation over there, if you don't have the graph in front of you. So let's do it from the graph first. So if you're at 2.1, you're not at 2, right? You're to the right of it. So go up to your graph a little bit, and what should that value be? Well, you can't tell from the graph, right? Because it's kind of a weird thing. So you need the equations over there because you can guesstimate it. So let's go over here. So this is an x value. Go find where would 2.1 be of those four different choices. Is it between 0 and 1, between 1 and 2, between 2 and 3, or between 3 and 4?
2 and 3.
Between 2 and 3 in this third piece. So 2.1 would be located in this piece. Each x can only be in one piece, or else it's not defined properly. So if 2.1 falls in here, then what's your answer? 3.38. The picture is just showing you what it looks like, I guess. It's not very useful. I guess it would be useful if I said this. What is f of 0.5? So if you talk half a minute, right, 0.5, and you went to 0.5 right here, and you went up to this piece, you could legit say it was 2, right? That's about the only one that's kind of a perfect one that I could say, oh, that answer would be 2, without needing those equations over there on the right, because they're kind of weird amounts down here that I can't really project over here and guesstimate what they are. Continue with yes or no?
No.
All right, so there is a piecewise function that's got three pieces. You want to give it a go? See if you can graph it. It's four homework problems that I'm just going to take off for right now. Okay. How's it going? Does your chart look something like mine? Should it be identical? Yeah, because we should all have end up with the same graph. So negative four, negative three is a solid dot. Negative one, negative three is also a solid dot. So the first piece has to be a horizontal line between right here and right here. Is that what you got?
Yes.
Okay. Piece number two, at negative one, negative three, this is what I was talking about. It says to put an open dot at negative one, negative three, but there's already a solid dot there. So that just means it's going to be the starting point. Like, I'm just keeping note of that point right there. You can't reopen something that's solid. And then go up to 2, 0 and put a solid dot. And then you'll connect those. Like that. For the second piece. So we go down. And then the third piece says go to 2, 1 and put an open dot. And then 4, 2, when we're off the 1, 2, 3, 4, 2, and put a solid dot. That's not right. Yeah. And then I'll make that point right there. And then connect them. And it looks something like that. Raise your hand if you got that. Oh, nice. Pretend for a moment my mistake wasn't there. Is this a functioning yes or no? Does it pass the vertical line test as you go from left to right? The only weird point's right here, right? But remember that's open. So, yes. It's called a piecewise function because it's a function. It passes the vertical line test. It's got a weird point right here, but remember, its only value is right there, the y coordinate, because it's an open dot up there.
It means it's not included.
It means not included in that one. It is included in this one. So piecewise functions are functions because they pass the vertical line test. And that's why you'll notice there's never like 2 points solid on top of each other, because if there were, it wouldn't be a function. But even this point right here is just 1 point. So if you're looking for the domain of this, oftentimes, not all the time, but oftentimes, if it's written correctly, this is sort of your leftmost x value, and this is your rightmost x value, right? Because it goes from negative 4 to negative 1, and then negative 1 to 2, and then 2 to 4. So that should kind of make sense to you a little bit, that your domain's coming from the leftmost x is right here at negative 4. And the rightmost x is right there at positive 4. Just kind of keeping track of that a little bit along the way. Okay, so when you do your homework tonight, I'm now looking at your homework. It's 3 pages long because there's graphs. So the first one is talking about a linear function, and they give you a b and they give you a slope. So I think you're going to have no problem with that. Then you have to get yourself a little graph. So I think you talked about time unit being on the x-axis, so be careful about that. On page 2, there's a piecewise function where they ask you a little bit about what's going on and interpreting some stuff about that. By the way, when you get to D, what was the rate? Rate means you're finding a slope. So you might have to get a couple points to find the slope, because that's what finding a rate means, finding the slope. Okay. And then when you get to the third page, there's a piecewise function for you to graph right there with 3 pieces. Don't read the way they want you to do it. Read the way I do it. Do it the way I tell you to do it. Make three little tea tables, and you'll have three pieces. And I don't think you have any problems. One will be horizontal, and then there's two other pieces. Different X endpoints that we can do them, but I think you can do that, no problem. So that's your written homework. There's one thing that we didn't talk about today. So when you get to this point up here, I'm stopping you at right here. So I'm just putting stop. So don't do those last four. We'll catch those in a couple weeks. Okay, that. So those cool practice your linear stuff and graphing some piecewise functions, that's what we worked on today. Don't do beyond number 53 and work diligently on those three pages. Dave, I'm turning it over to you.
Did anyone not get the key for an easy quiz for the exam?
The other information. This is a question.
Anybody else?
The D part.
Oh,
D. When it says find the rate, at what rate, that's the quote.
Okay, so I think you guys did pretty well, mostly, on the test. I'm not going to talk about the quiz. You can look at that if you have any questions. See me. I just want to go through and talk about a couple of issues or highlights. Mostly people did okay on the first page, except there were a few people that had minus sign errors. And again, there are two or three people that are still writing X's when it says slow. So if you're asked for the slope, it's not negative 5/3 X, it's negative 5/3. So I circled that and took off a point if you did that. There were a few people that got the graphs wrong even when they got this other information correct. So be careful in how you do the graphs. So I'm not going to go into detail on this, but either you didn't plot the points correctly, or you got the slopes completely wrong, or something of that sort. So
we are redoing that again tomorrow, only we're putting two lines on the same set of axes. So if you can't graph one line correctly, it's going to be a struggle when we put two, because that's the very first thing we talk about tomorrow, putting two lines on the same set of axes. So.
I think mostly people did okay on the second page, but at the bottom, so I was looking for a very specific kind of explanation. Some of you said slopes are different, some of you said slopes are negatives, some of you said slopes are flipped. We need to be precise about this. In order for you to get a perpendicular set of lines, your slopes have to be negative reciprocals. Now some of you use the word opposite, some of you use the word flip. I don't know what those words mean, to be honest. They're not technical mathematical terms. Negative, reciprocal. So think about what those words mean and think about how those are used when we talk about perpendicular lines. Next page, people did mostly pretty well. There were a couple of people that got the which of the graphs on the left are functions. What does it take for it to be a function? But when you have a graph, what is the easy way to do it? Vertical line test. So if you run the vertical line test on this one, it passes the vertical line test. So this is a function. What about this one? It fails the vertical line test. What about this one? It fails. What about this one? Passes. What about this one? Passes. How about this one? Fails. So there were several of you that either omitted or had extra letters up here that shouldn't have been there, indicating that you're not quite sure about vertical line tests yet. And then on this page, again, looking for the explanation or the interpretation or the meaning. What is the meaning of H of 1? Well, it means that And almost everybody got the 48 correct. I think there was only one person that got this number wrong. But the rocket is 48 feet high after 1 second. That's the interpretation. That's the meaning. Some of you said the rocket is 48 feet high without mentioning the 1 second. You know, and there were variations on that theme. So be careful when you just describe these things. And second to last page, let's see. The only issue that I had with the graph of the parabola, some of you just stopped short and didn't show that the parabola was continuing on. Even if you didn't use an arrow symbol, if you just drew a line that went above or something like that, that would have been okay. But if you drew points and ended it right there, that indicated that you didn't realize that this function could go further. So I took a point off if you didn't do that correctly. And I think there were only a few people that did that. And everything else on that page was okay. And I would say you mostly did pretty well on this last page as well. So, I mean, there were people who made mistakes in here, but each of these parts was only worth 1 point. So even if you messed it up, it wasn't that terrible. Questions about the test? If you have specific questions you want to talk to me about, come see me either before class or after class and we can look at that stuff. But otherwise, I think most people did pretty well. Some people did better this time than last time. Some people didn't do quite as well this time as last time. So I think it kind of balanced out. But just keep up the good work.
You can see your grades in Blackboard starting to form.
Remember, the 0414 grade is just the average of your grades. 13, 14 take homework into consideration and stuff too, but they're posted so you can see. Thank you all for coming. Tomorrow's a super important day, so don't miss tomorrow. It sets the tone for the next several days.
Putting these numbers on the graph, like, right. How are you doing? Because I put like different numbers right here.
First piece is between the x value of -4 and -1, so that's what it's in -4 and -1. The second piece is for x values from -1 to 2, that's why there's an x value from -1 to 2.